welcome to the Big Mac Show. Yes, we're not having a Mac Show this week because we haven't got enough people for it because everyone's busy tomorrow. So we thought we'd do the Big Mac Show. We'd do all our predictions all together, all the Apple stuff, all the general tech stuff, and we'd shove it out on both feeds. So if you're listening on the big feed and hoping for an Apple-free zone as normal, then there'll be a little bit of Apple. I do apologise. And if you're an Apple listener and you're thinking, what do I want to know about all those other tossers for? There's a little bit of other people, but lots of them, unfortunately. So listen up and we'll see where we go. We've got loads of predictions that have come in from the communities. So we'll be reading those out as we go. Joining me to help me with these predictions, fantastic pairing or threesome. Starting us off, Foxy.
It's the first time I've been in a threesome.
Well, yeah. How was Christmas, dude?
Haven't lived, have you?
Yeah, well, like I'm allowed to talk about it. Christmas, it was very quiet. Everyone but me has been ill.
Everyone's been ill apart from you. Well, that's good then. You'll take that.
Well, yeah, but when this goes out, obviously you'll take that bit out and say how concerned I've been and how worried and devastating.
Everyone on the panel's been ill apart from you as well, I think.
Yeah, next week I'll be, I have the lurgy, I'm sure. But I've had a fine, very quiet Christmas other than lots of sniffling and coughing and stuff. So.
Good, excellent. Have you taken the Christmas decoration down on the door behind you?
Of course not.
Good lad.
It lives there.
The year
There's
round.
Some more to go with it, of course, but that one's still there. The house might fall down if I take it
I'm
down.
Not superstitious, so this year, bollocks, we're leaving them all up all year.
It saves on getting rid of the blue tack mess when you take them all down again, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Now, Mr. Gamut, have you been ill over the Christmas break?
No.
No, you've been free. That's what healthy mountain living does for you.
That's right. I spent Christmas Day skiing and drinking. And drinking some more.
That sounds like Nirvana, mate.
We didn't have any public transport either.
If I'd have drunk enough, I could have spent Christmas Day skiing as well. Or is that snowballing? No, that's a different thing entirely, isn't it? Sorry.
That's a different thing entirely. But if you want to spend next Christmas skiing as opposed to snowballing, well, but we could snowball with if you really want to. You're welcome to come out.
Are you serious? We could get away from both sets of parents and come out to Colorado skiing for the week. Sold, dude. We'll be there.
And buy marijuana when you're out there.
Yeah, can I make a firm booking now? Do you take cards?
Yes, I do.
And beneath him, it's Righty Boy.
Hello, mate.
How was Christmas for you, you sick old git?
I know, that's horrible. There's all sorts of stuff coming out of me.
I actually got to the point where I was thinking if I opened your tweets, I would get sick from you. It was that bad.
It's like a week. It's ridiculous. So, but I'm back to work today, so I can't complain, can I?
No, mate.
I can no longer afford to be sick.
Exactly.
Yeah, so. Bastards. It's a self-employed person as well. I always get sick at Christmas. I always have some sort of sniffle, but I had no break. I was off at the 23rd, and I wasn't supposed to be working then. I was supposed to break up on the 16th, and I wasn't supposed to go back until the 5th, 6th, 7th, whatever it is, 6th on Monday, and I was back on the bloody 28th. So
that's harsh.
I've had no break
at all. I went back on the 27th because I just needed to.
Well...
I phoned around and said, anyone got any work? I really need to get out of the house.
Now, if you're listening, this podcast is from the future because everything that we're talking about hasn't happened yet, but it certainly will. Who'd like us to give us their first prediction of the year? Should we start with one of the community ones?
Go on, then.
So the first community one, we'll take one from the Mac community, get us going. The first one is from Storm, and Storm was put down, not Storm as in X-Men, Storm Gorelli, and he's put down, Apple will publish some prospective financial performance targets. Analysts will make up some higher performance targets. Apple will beat their own performance targets with record financial performance, but will not meet the analysts' made-up targets. And worldwide press will report that Apple is doomed. I think all of those are bound to be true.
Guaranteed.
I can't say that one of those is going to be wrong. And from the Big Show, there was quite an interesting one on the Big Show that we'll start with, actually, and it might kick us off into conversation. There's a whole load that have come in from the Saranac Assassin, but one of the things he put at the bottom as a wild card, a player in the field, not necessarily an expected one, will announce a new device running on something that isn't Android or another recognised OS that doesn't necessarily last as an OS, but they'll introduce new UI ideas that everyone else will then steal or copy.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good start, because actually, if you look at the smartphone interface, it's kind of been... done a bit, and it's ready for something a little bit fresher, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there are. Sorry, carry on.
Go ahead, Foxy.
I was going to say there are some Chinese manufacturers coming on the market, and this is going to be the big Asian year, isn't it? Because up to now they've just been using Android, and now Apple have gone big into their market in the last few months. So I think
that you really think the US is going to let a Chinese OS hunt?
No, I don't think they will, but I don't think they're going to be able to stop it.
Really?
Because I think there's going to be so much traction in China that there's going to be lots of, especially for business use, there's going to be a lot of business use that the Chinese are quite good at hobbling something to their own advantage. Yeah. They may hobble access to, if you like, their customers, their market, unless you go through their system. So I think that might be that might be a big player.
Go with that. What were you going to say, Paul?
Well, that's exactly what happened with WebOS, though, wasn't it? That was kind of a all new singing and dancing kind of thing, and that died a death. And loads of stuff that came out of that are in Android and iOS now. So there is every chance it could happen again. So everyone's just copying each other at the moment.
Yeah.
So they're not being original, because every time iOS do something, Android users always say, "Oh, well, we had that for years," and vice versa. So we need someone else to copy.
So what's your thoughts, Jeff? Mobile OS. Revolution this year or not?
No, I don't think we'll get a revolution this year. I think we'll see the same fighting that we've had over the past couple of years. And a lot of what could happen for a revolution is going to be tied up in resources in patent fights.
Really? You think that's just going to consume people's slush funds?
Yeah. Well, if
it's a budgeted cost now. Slush
funds, at least man hours. So I think that's going to hold back the potential innovation that would make this a blockbuster year for mobile operating systems.
Yeah. Okay.
Can I throw something on top of the mobile
always
system thing? It's something I wrote down previously, because what I did, I gave myself three categories, one which is gaming, one which is cameras, and one which was mobile. So I've made one for each. And so on top of my, mobile, I'm not sure this is right. It might be just a wish, but I was sort of looking at the fact that all three main operating systems, Apple, Google, and Windows, you know, they're working in walled garden. And I think this year might be the year when the user gets a bit more power. And so the walled gardens will slowly start to have to come down a bit. There'll be more, if you like, integration between the three different main operating systems. So you'll find something that you can use on one phone that the data will far more easily go over to another phone. It's like the way Google made maps for Apple, and then Apple did their own thing and sort of hobbled Google for a little while, then let Google back in. BBM, I mean, I know it's not a big player, but BBM is now available on other networks. I just think the cross-platform usability, like iCloud, the mobile me type thing, where you can send data to each other. I can't remember what you call it now, because it's changed names so many times, I couldn't remember.
Well, it's because it's never worked.
But I think there's going to be more cross-platform participation with things like that. So you'll be able to send something that, may have been iOS developed, and it will be able to work with Android and Windows, because I think they're realising that the users...
I think it's a good point.
And made a decision. AirPlay is another one. I think AirPlay or something like AirPlay might just start opening up, because the users are going to start stamping their feet and go, look, the first one that gives us open access is going to win. And I think they're all going to have to start listening a bit more to the customers.
I just want to...
Like I say, it might be a wish. I don't know.
Wrong.
I might be, but...
Well,
might be
a wish. Yeah, no, the actuality of it actually occurring, I think, is an issue. We'll come back to that in a second, Jeff. I just want to echo a couple of points before we move on to that, because they relate to the OS thing. Matt Jim in the chat rooms jumped out there and said, what about an Ubuntu Touch OS? Because that would hit platforms like desktop computers, tablets, and potentially phones as well, which is a great one. But then you're back to the WebOS thing about it being absolutely fantastic for integration and sync and absolutely brilliant, great idea, but no one buys it, no one uses it. And the same with Firefox. Wes is mentioning Firefox Mobile OS. So I don't think you're going to see a revolution in OS, though. That's the only thing that might be the problem that stops the unique interface, perhaps. Go back to the BBM thing, because one of the points I was going to make as my prediction was whether BlackBerry would go under this year. And there's a great article, which is John Chen. I can't find it. Here we go. CEO John Chen on The Verge, and he's saying an awful lot of stuff about, you know, don't listen to the naysayers and the people that are saying that we're dead in the corporate world. We absolutely aren't. It's one of our core strengths. But he goes on to talk about the, we're going to focus on key areas, which are enterprise messaging and QNX. And he's put messaging in there. And it's interesting that you said about the BBM stuff, Alex, because he's saying they've got 40 million subscribers from iOS and Android devices since they opened it up. And I think he's right. I think BlackBerry, the salvation of BlackBerry might be BBM. How they're going to monetize it, Christ knows. But they've got an awful lot of traction in that area, because one of my customers used to contact me a lot through iMessage. And now that I've gone onto the Windows platform, nothing pisses him off more than he sends me an iMessage. It goes off into the cloud. He doesn't know whether I've received it or not, but it's on my tablet and I haven't opened my tablet up, so I haven't got the message. Yeah, and he says, did you get that message I sent you while I was on the tube? No.
So that's my point of integration. It's going to be this lost thing. I mean, adding again to what you said with BlackBerry, I mean, I think the sort of the Siri idea, I think the idea of, it's more than voice control. It's sort of electronic helper. I think that's something else that's going to come more into iOS and Android. And I think we're going to, that whole system's going to develop a lot more to be a lot more useful.
It's almost like we're moving back to Adium.
Yeah, I just think, I mean, again, the BBM thing, the I think there's still a place in the market. I mean, what people, I think we're as guilty as anyone else. We look at figures and we go, well, if you've not got $100 billion in the bank, then you're a failure. You've got to remember, even for most worldwide companies, staying afloat and paying your staff is, you know, it's an achievement, especially in this day and age at the moment. And the fact that BlackBerry might not be an enormous market share. If they can make, you know, a 20% profit on a small amount, it's just as good as making the 1% profit they used to make on a massive amount. If they become more specialized with their security and really get, you know, businesses really, you know, in there, so maybe they'll have a really secure tablet operating system, a really, you know, just make it something that it might be slightly niche, but you pay for it. You pay for the privilege. You know, like a Bond Street jeweler. You know, they make bucket loads of money, but they only sell three things a year. You know, that might be their place to go. And I think, I don't think they're dead in the water. I think they need to, we need to change
the problem they're going to do is stop hemorrhaging money, though. That's the key.
Yeah, but they will stop that eventually by cutting back to being a specialist firm. Mm. It's like Arm. Arm is a relatively small company.
Yeah,
but they specialise in very small areas, which makes them very successful.
Go on, Jeff, you were about to chime in with, you were saying about BBM, and you thought that Alex might be wrong, unfortunately.
Yeah, okay, so I fear Alex is wrong, and the reason being is because it looks to me like Google wants to make sure that people don't have easy cross-platform sharing capabilities, that they want everyone using one platform. And they gave us a taste of this actually just a couple days ago when they announced that Bump was being killed. Is that they bought Bump back in September and Flock, which is part of Bump. And then a day or two ago, they announced that they're shutting both down at the end of January. And Bump was great because it was a drop-dead simple way to get information between devices regardless of whether or not you're running iOS or Android. And it also would let you go between your mobile device and your desktop or laptop computer.
Yeah.
Really great. And they killed it. And while that's only one small example, I think it is indicative of the philosophy that these companies have. They don't care if the end users are jumping up and down demanding that they have transparent, easy sharing between platforms, the big companies, they don't want that.
Is there a point for a sort of a central, let's get this word right, repository? So whatever message you send to will go to a central place. You know, like, what's the thing, Mike?
You've got to tie the usernames together, then, though. That's going to be hard.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what they could use. I can't remember. WhatsApp, is that? Am I making that up? Does that exist?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there you go. And that seems to be cross-platform. Messaging. Now, I'm just wondering if some agreement could be made to use, like, a third party. If it's not going to iMessage to Google, can it go via some other third party? I wonder if they could do it that way.
You've got to get them to all sit and agree, though.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's legislationable, isn't it? I mean, the EU would love that. Enough.
Yeah, the EU would be sitting there with erections, mate, at that suggestion, but they're never going to make it happen. That's the trouble. You can't force a company to do business with another firm. So, you're not going to force a company to do business with another company. I don't see that happening.
Well, British Communications has worked that way for years. You know, we had BT. They were forced to do business with all these other people.
They were forced to sell the lines, but they weren't told who to sell them to.
No, but they're still forced to do business with Sky and TalkTalk and anyone that seems to have £5 to put together to call themselves a communications company.
Fair point. Good one. Jeff, did you bring a prediction?
Yes, I did. My prediction is that this is the year that far too many of us start looking like tech dorks, because we'll start seeing a lot of attempts at wearable technology rolling out that go beyond the super expensive Google Glass thing. And there will be all kinds of people like us that will grab this stuff and try it out to see what works. And we're going to be walking around with stuff strapped on and hooked on and blocks on our bodies. And as we figure out just how lame we really look with all this wearable tech hooked up to us.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a point that Gazmo's made a couple of weeks ago on the big show, and I think he's absolutely right, is that the wearable tech industry will die if it's a device. It's got to be something that complements a device. So, there was a thing today about there's a nano charger generator that goes into a backpack. As you're walking along with the backpack, the piezo electronics in it are slowly charging the device, and you've got your phone plugged into it, and it's trickling the charge into your device, so you've got an always-on power source from your perambulation. And that kind of stuff, I think, is really where tech's going to be. Google Glass, I think, is a freak show, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Agree.
I've always thought that... Heels in shoes are a big waste of space. They should always put some sort of charging device in the heels of a shoe, because you'd get an awful lot of...
Or a trigger device for a 3-inch knife.
What will that or the other? Depends on how you like your Bond film.
Well, that's what I use mine for.
And your shoelaces could have the end of it could be a USB dongle, so you could charge your phone.
Based on the frigging reception I get, mate, I want my laces to be an aerial.
There you go. You've invented it.
Of course, now you have to walk around with your legs in the air all the time.
Moving on.
I just don't care.
No, I mean, where is wearable tech really going then?
I think wearable tech is going to be a mess until this fall. And then Apple's going to roll out whatever it is that they have. And at that point, everyone's going to go, oh, I get it now. And then we'll start seeing all these products change. And then in 2015, the wearable market will be much better. And I'm basing this on how the smartphone market and the MP3 player market went. Because we had this chaos and these really bad products. And then Apple said, well, here's what we're doing. And everyone was like, oh, yeah, I get it now. And then they start making products along the same lines. Same thing happened in the smartphone market. And I think we'll see the same thing later this year in wearable technology.
Yeah.
How about wearable material solar panels? So if you live in a warm climate or a climate with sun and you've got a T-shirt on, it charges your phone while you're walking around.
So you're talking about the material can do it rather than having panels stitched on and you look like Darth Vader.
Yeah, so the material can then absorb the sunlight because that's a massive space to be moving around and picking up sunlight.
It's going to be an awful hot shirt as well.
Yeah. That's
it could have a built-in air conditioning because of power.
That runs off all the power that it absorbs.
You get a poor person to walk in front of you and just charge up your phone.
With a flag. Go on, Paul.
I think the only point that wearable tech will be any good is when people can't really tell that you're wearing wearable tech, if you see what I mean. That if you had something like Google Glass, it actually looks like a pair of glasses, or, you know, that Samsung smartwatch looks like you've got a microwave strapped to your arm, you know. If people can't actually tell that you're wearing it, that's the point that it's going to be usable. If not,
like, a good wig. Just like a good wig.
It's not a good wig. Exactly.
There's a tweet in the chat room, there's some text in the link in the chat room, rather. iGear 22 jacket, which is at iGear.com, AYEGEAR. And there's a few pictures here of what it can hold and what it can do. And it does hold an awful lot. But I can't think that it would be as svelte as it looks when it's got all that crap in it.
You need to be in the SIS to be able to run around in it.
Well, I just hate the fact as well that it's showing that it's so hip that one of the pictures is an MP3 player and they've got a picture of the iPod Classic.
Yeah, but that shot where he's put out an iPad and iPhone from the side of his coat and it just looks like those are dodgy market dealers. They've got watches going, I'll give you one for a tenner.
Well, no, the thing is as well, those covers, they're probably actually touch compatible, so you can actually operate your phone through the plastic. I've seen those before. The Scott Evest does that, I think.
Bulge free as well, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, then obviously you're not going to plan
lucky
on.
You are, I suppose.
They obviously don't come in my size then. Here we go. XXX out of stock. There we go. There's a surprise. Jesus Christ, I don't fit in this world.
Yeah, it tells you what type of guy wears silly coats.
It does look very. It looks a bit flimsy as well. I would love to say that this is the year it'd be wearable tech and it'd be decent wearable tech rather than just gimmicky shit. But I've got a feeling it's going to be a year of gimmicky shit.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose with 4G, wearable tech has now got a new place, hasn't it? Because you could start...
The data loads can go up, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know, you could open your coat and watch your latest movie. I don't know, but you've basically, look, you've got speeds that count. You've got the batteries that we're getting are like fourth generation batteries back. There are batteries out there that are just so much more advanced than what we've got at the moment. They just hold them back like tech you would. Why give people the newest tech when you can still sell them the old crappy tech, right? And you've got bendable screens. If you put the three things together, a bendable screen, a very fast 4G network, and batteries that might actually be able to last a day on one charge, that opens up some really good things for wearable tech. Even if it is, you know, dual function Kindle type things, you know, a reader on one side and a very low power usage screen on the other side that can deliver you, you know, you can actually sit on the train and watch the TV. You know, maybe you get 4G down the stations now. You know, that's all there. It's just waiting for somebody to have the...
You've got
the first generation that will be rubbish. You're waiting for the person that's got the guts to put out the first rubbish first generation so someone else can come in and improve it.
America loves its flip phones. And now it's got the iPhone and all the smartphones. It hasn't got a flip phone anymore. So I would see a bendable screen that then goes back to a clamshell. That's absolutely amazing because the Americans love their clamshells.
Imagine what size an iPhone is, you know. I was about to say an inch iPhone, I've no idea. But imagine having that, and the main complaint is someone saying the screen's too small. Or imagine being able to just pop out somehow and the screen just doubles in size all the time, all of a sudden. That would be quite...
Jeff, what did you say there? Sorry, Alex. I thought you finished, mate.
I don't get our fixation with flip phones.
But there is, isn't there? America loves flip phones, I'm right. Yeah.
And I think part of it may be that we have a part of the market that's older than we are, that is slower to jump into the whole smartphone thing. My parents, as an example, they've been using flip phones for a really long time, and it wasn't until Christmas when they finally got iPhone 5Cs. And And my dad was very resistant to the idea of a smartphone. As soon as he got it, though, he's calling me and texting me and saying, oh, my God, can you believe it? You can sit here and use this on-screen keyboard, and you can actually text people, and I can get to my contacts, and it's so easy to use. And all I could think was, do my parents never listen to a word I say? But I think that's kind of typical for a lot of people here, where they got very comfortable with the idea of a flip phone, and you can get them for free, and free is a favorite price, and so they just stick with that, and don't want to move to anything that they see as new or different.
Yeah, Bronwyn's saying she held onto her flip phone for so long till she got her iPhone, then bye-bye flip phone. She misses it.
Oh.
Nick, Nokia flip phone died, says iBookery, but that was on Symbian, so who cares? Some more of your predictions. HTC will sadly lose their battle to be a major player, says Serenac. And Samsung will produce 500 new phones, 498 of which will be horrid, but the best two will be pretty good. and there was some ones from where's he gone? From Joseph, Joseph Sukbeer. He said a word processor that goes beyond spelling and grammar checks to help you improve your style of writing. I've got to say, as a photographer, Alex and I are pretty badly assuaged by cameras doing it better for you. And all you writers, Jeff, you've got nothing out there that's making illiterate, itinerant people into better writers. It's about time your business got attacked. Coupled with a modern voice recognition and language translation to create a true dictation and translation service. This will cause privacy advocates to utter furore, as the word processor is always listening. And hardware, an easy-to-use personal cloud device, aka server, for use in the home to store all your media, and automatically, at no cost option, back it up to the public cloud or a cheap glass-mounted camera.
Can you imagine Instagram for writing? You know, you write something.
No, hang on, mate. Whenever
I think I have a Shakespeare version of that.
I can say whenever I write anything, it's already shit, so...
Forsooth. It's just going to have forsooth and an E at the end of every word that sounds like shop.
Except the American version where it'll be forsooth, y'all.
Yeah, you can have red. That'd be really good because you could sort of have a Shakespeare redneck version.
Yeah, oh, God. You could just have a switch and you click it into Twain, Marlowe, Shakespeare.
There you go. You know, it's actually starting Fancy. To sound good.
That would be great if you could.
It'd be Twitter, ye not. Won't
seriously,
it?
If you could have a Google Translate, and instead of a language, it had great writers, and you just put any text in it, and it just changed it into the style of those people. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, Philip Marlowe. You could write. Awesome. You could say, "I'm going to be home late," and it would say something like, "You know, I was in a dark alleyway."
She didn't notice the bulge in my pants, which was my 45.
Was that the Mills and Boone version?
That's right.
Oh, dear. I don't know where that went, but... Yeah, I quite like the idea of that tech.
Shut up, you and Symbian rocks. Thanks, BW.
Nope.
Symbian's not rock.
There's some good ideas in there. I mean, one of the things they're talking about, the storage, this must be the year where flash media or, you know, whatever you call it, the modern SSD drive becomes actually affordable.
Yeah,
because I think those prices have been held artificially high just too long now.
Oh, definitely.
And I think people are thinking, you know what, that should be a standard rather than an exotically priced, you know, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. But anyway, it should be standard by now, and the prices for these things should be coming down because, you know, you're still paying, I don't know, for half decent, 128 meg, you're still paying, well, over £1 a meg, 128 gig, you're still playing over £1 a gig, and that's too much. You know, because, you know, what actually goes into that thing is not rocket science. It was rocket science 5 years ago, but now it should be mass-produced enough that the prices come down, and I think that's something must look forward to.
E2 SSDs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
high-end SSDs.
Well, 512 SSDs are below 300 quid now.
They're not the sort of the high-end reliable ones, are they?
Oh, yeah, Crucial's. Crucial's down at about 220, 240, I think.
All right, you're still talking about over 50 pence a gigabyte, which, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Well, it's half the price before you started arguing, mate.
You're still talking about, you look at that towards, you know, spinning media. The actual making cost of spinning media, and probably, you know, they're probably not very different, put it that way. You're talking about chips. Chips are probably cheaper to make than the mechanical things that can go wrong.
Yeah, so
I mean, suggest they need to come down in price.
Crucial have currently got the M500 SSD, which is a fantastic SSD. I ran two of these in my MacBook Pro, and they're doing the 960, which is 415 at the moment, including VAT. And I think you can get the 5, here we go, scroll down for a bit more. 240 is at £100, 480 is at £200, and the 960 is at 360 plus VAT. Yeah. No, these are Crucial's shop prices from the site. So you're paying £242 for a 480, which isn't bad.
But you've got to remember, and I don't know about you, anything I've used with SSD, I've used SSD for system and then had to back it up on something affordable, like, you know, various terabyte hard drives as backup storage. With Thunderbolt and USB 3 and the newly ratified new USB. I don't know if they're calling it USB 4 or what, but it's just been ratified, the new USB. That now means external storage is workable as an option. So that does mean that, you know, let's get rid of all these.
Thunderbolt, I've got to say, I mean, I'm still adamant, me Thunderbolt stuff. I've got it over here. I can't show it you, but I'm going to end up disconnecting the drive here. No.
Okay, we take your word for it.
But yeah, you know, I've got my little desktop one here. I've got the portable one I carry around as well that takes 3.5 and 2.5 inch drives. It relays the Thunderbolt signal through from here, and I've got to say I am absolutely sold on it. I'll never go back to USB connectivity again if I can possibly help it. So,
if you think about it,
Thunderbolt is great, and it's
fast. The speed of your access port. It's 10 times faster than the speed of the thing at the other end. It does make you think the thing at the other end needs to improve. You know, if you stuck your Thunderbolt on a spinning 720 drive or whatever it's called, your Thunderbolt would be sitting there, you know, clicking its fingers, waiting for things to catch up at the other end. It's, you know, it's about time it changed.
Well, I render video on the Mac Pro, and those are three terabyte drives. There's an SSD doing the main system. And then there's three terabyte drives that are all 7200 RPM, and I never get any problems. And it's fast; it's real fast because it's the processor that's the slow part of the video crunching. It's
But I mean, if you wanted to do that on an external drive, you'd be.
I don't know. I think you'll find that Thunderbolt is
no Thunderbolt's good. That's what I'm saying. But if you did that on a 720. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just think SSDs, it's about time that they stop ripping us off.
Well, I did 15 on two SSDs on Thunderbolt. I did 15 gig of data transfer in 45 seconds a couple of weeks ago. So I can't think I'd need anything faster than that.
That's probably quicker than actually physically taking out the drive and putting it on the table.
That's faster than a frigging James Bond movie dumped to us to a thumb drive, mate.
Pretty much.
That's faster than the data transfer in Elysium from the bloke's head to the other bloke's head. I'm not giving anything away there. There's a data dump.
Oh, good.
Paul, have we done your prediction?
No, not yet.
Right, mate. What's yours?
Well, what I'm thinking, after release of the iPhone 5S last year now, do you think, the fact it worked, you know, I was surprised that it worked so well, are we going to see it on every single phone now? It comes out this year.
Do you think?
I think like US 4s, all your high end phones. I think everyone's going to have a go at it now, aren't they?
Oh, I don't know. What's the rest of you think?
You know what? I heard now of the launch of the IS whatever 5S. Do you think we'll find that on every other phone? What? I didn't get the bit that we're going to find on every other phone. Sorry.
So biometrics on.
Oh, biometrics. That's the word that I didn't pick up. Okay. I think the biometrics is more to do with the external devices, isn't it? Because the biometrics on its own doesn't achieve an awful lot other than the fingerprint reader. But they've got a whole chip that's sitting there waiting for developers to come up with something ingenious to go along with not only the fingerprint reader, but all the other things. I don't know. I don't know how much it's taken off. The three people I know that use a 5S, only one of them, which is Carl, uses the fingerprint reader.
No,
everyone else has turned it off.
I use it all the time.
I've heard a lot of people say it's really good.
But these are non-techie. That's my point. The one techie person I know with one. The one techie person has kept it on. The two techie people have taken it off because they found it annoying. So, you know, maybe that's something.
No, but I mean, I've heard from people on the Mac show and also from people at Elmug that actually the fingerprint recognition is great. And the thing is as well, Chris was showing his iPhone off and someone was holding it in portrait mode and he put his finger on it like he was in landscape mode and it still opened. It scans it 360. Work. It's
because I set one up with my finger just to see how I could fold it. And I've got a lovely scar on my finger and it didn't have any problem whatsoever. No problem. And then upside down, even because, you know, there's so many different angles to when you set it up in the first place. You do it at a slight angle and then you sort of wobble it a bit and move it around. It does pick it up. It's a very clever bit of technology. If people do trust in it, that bit of technology can actually go a long, long way. We've already talked about, you know, paying for things with your fingerprint, using your iPhone as the reader. That would be quite
nice. But the thing that got me was that he was saying, no, it opens up at any angle. I'm thinking, yeah, if I hold it to my arse cheek, it'll still open. You know, it's...
I'm not going to borrow your phone.
Well, don't tell Chris that I did.
Okay.
Stephen Lowe's jumped to him. I don't know about biometrics. I think what else, apart from reading your fingerprint or breath analysing or something like that for letting you drive your car, especially those, because the systems that you can start your car with your iPhone, can't you?
Yeah.
And set it running and you can set the temperature inside and stuff like that so it warms up so that you can sit it running on the drive in a cold day and then go out, unlock it, get in and drive off. And it'd be good if there was like something associated with the microphone or the speaker where you could blow on it, and if you've got an alcohol content above 0.08, it won't let you drive the vehicle.
It'll call a cab for you itself.
Well, I only get cabs now anyway, so, and I'm not getting rid of my van yet for that pure reason. I'm joking, by the way. If Plod's listening, I don't drive my van, Piers, all right? I'm going out tomorrow night for a beer. I am deliberately taking the train, so please.
Yeah, but you're driving it.
But don't forget heart rate, drugs, temperature, and ill temper.
Oh, blimey.
I don't know what ill temper's about, but never mind. Maybe that's just a point.
Your iPhone becomes, or your Android phone becomes like a mood ring, except it's a mood smartphone. Oh my God, can you imagine? You hold your phone up to your ear, and it starts changing color as you get angry or excited.
That's what the C for. Blimey. That's what the C's for, chameleon.
That's awesome.
It's an iPhone 6C, and the C stands for chameleon. The skin changes color.
Stands for calm down.
You know, that would fit perfectly with my belief that when people get married, their wedding rings should be mood rings, so that you can walk in the room and see what mood your partner is in before you ask a question or make a suggestion or even start a conversation.
Sharon's would be black
exactly
all the time.
When you're safe or not.
When you've been married over 20 years, you can tell that through telepathy.
Frigging black all the time, mate.
I'll tell you what, before I put the key in the door, I know what's coming.
You all get right, this, Jeff, because you can say that you've got a girlfriend, not because you've got a wife. Once you've got a wife, mate.
Okay, okay.
A medical tricorder. Well, there was $10,000 for that, don't forget, this year. That was for... if you want it. And Mac Jim says, Adam Christian said the fingerprint pass can be hit or miss and it needs resetting often in his experience. And he was the one that told me it was bloody brilliant. So, bollocks, dude.
I have not had to reset mine yet.
No, maybe not. What else have we got then? So we've got, we've done another couple of the Big Show ones. Let's do another Apple one. New Mac Mini, says Dominic O'Rourke, but that might be a bit of a no-brainer. Touchscreen MacBook Pro. That's quite an interesting one. Well, I think one of the things that was interesting in the Big Show community is they said, one of the guys says, this will be the year of the Chromebook. He thinks the Chromebook will really gain some traction here and start to fly with it. And I can't think that you can ignore Touch UI anymore on laptops particularly. And if you look at where, you know, my daughter regularly, she uses my laptop and she uses the iPad. And regularly, she will open the laptop and swipe it with a finger without thinking and then realising she's not on it and has to type the password in.
Well, I think I don't think the iPad and all that thing, the hardware, the other hardware are going to change. But I think the iPad and the phones and respect it, really. I think they are going to become even more remote devices or secondary screens. I mean, something I've noticed lately, I've been using Virgin TiVo and I've been using Netflix. And what I do, because of it's such a palaver going through keyboards and, you know, pressing this and searching, it's got a functionality that I look it up on my phone. I get Netflix on my phone or on my pad. I pick what I want to watch and it just gives me the option to send it to the TiVo, the same as you do with a Chromecast. And it works exactly the same with a TiVo with your phone. So you fire up Netflix, I find the film I want, I press the little, it looks like AirPlay, funnily enough, I don't know where they got that idea from, and it starts playing on my TV. The same thing with my Western Digital box. I look on the app on my phone, I can either watch the film on my phone, if I don't want to watch it, I press it and it turns up on my TV via my Western Digital box. And what that's, I've played with also some applications that make my iPad an extra screen for my Mac, but it also has the, you know, the touch capabilities. At the moment, that's pretty terrible. I've tried them all and none of them are any good. It just doesn't seem to work. It seems to be something that Apple need to build into the iPad. And I think maybe iOS 8, I don't know, and maybe the next, it might work better with AC on everything, including the pads and the machines, and obviously your router as well. Yeah. Then it would be a fully second, third screen in my case with the touch screen capability. I would really like the really expensive Wacom tablet I used to have, which had the screen below me so I could write, draw, and whatever.
Say that again.
Below me?
What? Oh, below me. On your connection, that came out as I had the screen blow me. I'm not surprised it's expensive. Jesus.
That was the extra I paid for it.
That's a full service product right there.
Jesus.
You don't want to know what I did with the pen.
Hey!
So anyway, so the screen, the picture of what I was drawing on the screen was actually on the tablet below me, and I could draw and see. But, you know, what I'd like is the touch capabilities of the iPad with mirroring the screen that's above me, so I could move around what I wanted, then carry on with the work actually on the main screen. This functionality is there, but it's really, really poor functionality. Something that they could link the two things together a lot better with. And an Apple thing.
You say no touch at all, Jeff?
No. Okay, so if touch means you have to break the plane, going from the keyboard and trackpad up to your display, no.
As opposed to can break the plane, not have to break the plane.
Right. If you don't have to break the plane, like you put some sort of touch surface in addition to a trackpad on the keyboard plane, then sure, I could see that happening. And there was one point several years ago before the iPad came out where I thought that Apple was going towards a touch display for the keyboard and trackpad, where they did away with the physical keyboard. And depending on what app you're in, your entire keyboard surface area interface would graphically change to represent whatever application you're using. So like if you're using GarageBand, you'd end up with sliders and controls that were appropriate for recording and editing audio. And if you're in Photoshop, you'd get controls for working with images. We don't have that. And I don't think we will actually get rid of the physical keyboard on our laptops.
But no, that's not what I'm thinking at all.
I could see that happening.
Well, no, what I'm thinking about is when you're saying about having to break the plane, I'm not suggesting that I want to be forced into moving away from keyboard or moving away from trackpad or mouse. But what I'm saying is if I'm browsing Amazon, in order to position the cursor on the search box, I don't have to use a mouse or a trackpad. I can just dab the screen on the search box and then start typing. Or if I see the thing that I want, I can do a single tap to open it, or I can do a double tap to open it in a new browser on the screen. That would be something where, you know, okay, I want to do keyboard and mouse all the time, and then all of a sudden, I look at this crucial thing here, and instead of hovering my mouse over it, I can just reach out and dab the screen on that crucial. I mean, that's got to be doable now. All you need is a screen that'll be touch enabled. Which is
well,
where
you
I
even
think
need that though.
No,
you,
which
you,
is where I think the credence for this 13-inch MacBook Pro or iPad Pro thing is coming from, because people would like the idea of the fact that they can use a keyboard and mouse, and then they can reach up and just touch the screen if they want to navigate links on websites or place a cursor or do those kind of mundane things rather than having to use a trackboard or having to use a mouse. I would, because I'd do that with my left hand then instead of having to do it with my right for the keypad.
But you don't need that. You've got an eyesight. You could convert the eyesight into some sort of slightly better Kinect, you know, because you don't need just one sensor there. You could have 10 sensors all the way around the screen.
And whilst that would be totally cool, that's from an R&D viewpoint, that's immensely more expensive, surely.
Well, I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, who was it? The girl that did does Click, the girl, I can't remember her name, lovely girl. But anyway, she put up, it was something on Click, and it's on the BBC website now, and it was like something like a £70 conversion to make any screen touch. And what it is, the screen itself is not touch, but it's got these cameras and a little bit of software that are mounted around the edge of the screen, and it knows it's not as precise as finger touches on your iPad, but it was precise enough for her to demonstrate the screen and everything following her finger around on a, I think she did it on a 42-inch Samsung, just to make the point. And that was £70 as a, you know, an extra on top if you do it yourself. Now, if Apple wanted to build that sort of system into a screen, it would cost them £5.
Yeah,
you know, that's the difference.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is my my Windows phone, that's got a capability. So if you want to just hover over, you don't have to actually touch. You can just hover near, and as soon as you get near, it'll do. So there you go. I can't see if I can prove this, but I can actually move the home screen up without having to touch it. So, I mean, that's another option. But I think it'd be so cool. That's a wish list one, definitely, rather than a realisation. I think Jeff's probably right, unfortunately, but I would love to see it. I think this could be the year of Google Car. I think Google will really push the car hard.
I think it's too early.
Well, I think it's where they've got a potential large market down the line, and there is no one really further ahead than them at the moment of achieving that. Because, yeah, I know BMW have been doing self-driving cars for a long time, and I know Saab did, and I know that the French lot have as well. But the one thing that I think Google have got is the public external image to be the tech company, the innovators to make this happen, and their system could get approval far faster than anyone else. You got fat chance of you can have a self-driving car before you're going to have an autonomous drone delivering your Amazon package. Definitely. By a long shot.
Okay, can I've got a couple of things on here. Because you said self-driving car, I want to bring up something else, and it is obviously related, but it's sort of, you know, you said you're talking about predictions. Well, this morning I read the Isaac Asimov's predictions for 2014. Now, he made these predictions 50 years ago in 1964. Okay. You know what I thought was really clever? And I read the entire article that he put on the New York Times at the time, and I wrote all these notes, and I thought, I'm just going to check them. And I just put it in, and I typed it in wrong. I put Isaac Asimov predictions expecting the whole article, and there's lists of people that have done exactly what I'm talking about today, and I could have just copied their work. But anyway, so 50 years ago he did this. And it was the, what did they call it? It was the World's Fair in New York, 64. So his predictions, and I'll just give you the correct ones. He said, by 2014, we were going to have electroluminescent panels and they'll be common use. And what he meant by those were what I would call flat screen televisions put on the wall.
I'd say that's close enough. You're not calling bullshit on that, definitely.
No.
All right.
Okay, gadgetry will continue to, what did they say, relieve mankind of tedious jobs, right? That's quite sensible, isn't it?
No, they've created tedious jobs.
Communications will become sight, sound, and you will see and you will hear the person you telephone. Okay, so you've got Skype, Google, FaceTime.
I think I'm more impressed by the panels one at the moment.
Okay. Oh, this, where would it go? This is the bit. This is when I started getting quite excited. The screen can be used not only to see the people you call, but also for studying documents and photographs and reading passages from books. I was quite impressed with that one.
Yeah, okay.
The computers... sorry, that's what they've said. Okay. Robots will neither be common nor very good in 2014, but they will be in existence. Okay. Kitchen units will be devised that they will prepare auto meals, heating water and converting into coffee, toasting bread, frying, poaching, scrambling eggs, grilling bacon, and so on. There are quite a few coffee machines.
I've got a wife for that. That's a joke, by the way. Before you write in and complain, that was a joke, okay?
Ceilings and walls will glow softly and in a variety of colours that will change at the touch of a push button. I took some photographs of a kitchen a friend of mine who's a kitchen designer built the other day, and one of the main features he put in is called mood lighting. And you tell it what mood you are, and all the cupboards, there's lights around the bottom of the cupboards, and they all change colour to affect your mood.
Kitchen, pissed off!
Okay.
It turns red.
This is interesting. At the time, the world population was 3 billion, and he said the world population would be over 6.5 billion by 2014. Well, we've just gone over 7.
From 50 years ago, that's a pretty good prediction, because in the 70s, we were only at 3 billion, so, yeah.
Oh, this is good. Mankind will therefore become largely a race of machine tenders. Schools will have to be orientated in this direction. Okay.
Yeah, but that's a bit loose.
All right.
That's not bad, though, so far, I've got to say.
I'm trying to find the one that made me think about it, and I wrote it down somewhere else, which is really annoying. I can't find the... Well, basically, what he did predict was driverless cars. In 2014, he said, they'll be quite new, but you'll be able to just tell the car the direction you want to go, and the car will take you there automatically via use of computers.
Right, there we go. So, yeah, Asimov's right, I'm right. There we go.
Okay, and if you want, the whole article, it's all over the internet, which is really annoying, because I thought it was clever and taking my time to learn this. I'm just using someone else's Precy, which isn't quite as good as what I did, but it makes more sense than what I did. Yeah, he did really, really well. A lot of the predictions were spot on, but remembering he was, he wrote books about the future and...
Visionary. Good lad. Well done, Isaac. Having driven from Basingstoke to Cumbria today, a self-driving car would be great, says Mr. Batwinge. Bad luck. Well done. Oh, aye, aye, we've got a bit of flicker going on.
Oh, who's posting their pictures?
A bit of flicker on the screen. No, I don't know why that's come on. It shouldn't come on. And we're back. There we go. We're all right. We're good. Good discussions. It'd be interesting. What I'm going to do is keep hold of this episode on the hard drive away from the ones on the server. And come next year, I'm going to replay it. Not that there'll be much point, I don't think. But it'd be interesting to see how many predictions we've got. And I'm going to print out what we've got on the communities as well and read those out next year and see just how close we got.
Can I just give you... I won't go into the whole thing. I'm just going to give you a very quick, not for discussion, because I did a section. I wrote gaming because my older boy said the Steam console, it might not get here till the very end of this year, but he said that's going to be the future of gaming because it's going to give you the high-end PC-type gaming, and it's also customizable. So you say, no, I want to spend a bit more and I have just a bit better video card. I want just a bit better of this. And with their... back catalogue and their capabilities of, you know, they've got tens of thousands of games already there and, you know, a reasonable price. And he also said it's developer friendly. It's, you know, develop once platforms, you know, use them on the Steam machine, but also use them on your PC, also use them on your Mac. So he said he reckoned Steam would be the gaming innovation of 2014.
I think you might be right there.
Steam, I think, has a lot of potential, but... the notion that the develop once, deploy everywhere part is what's going to make it big, I don't think so, because we've done develop once, deploy everywhere several times, and it has always turned out to be crap. I think it's the other features that Steam brings to the table that will make this the year of Steam. But I agree. I think Steam is going to be a huge player this year.
Oh, I'm glad I can tell him that.
Did you make your Steam machine? Sorry, Alex, did you make your Steam machine, Righty?
I started. It's really buggy. They were right. If you really don't, you've got to be a real hardcore in as a hacker to kind of get it to run, because a lot of driver issues.
Right.
So unless you've got exactly the kit that they've kind of developed for at the moment, are some real graphics card issues. But I'm gonna
persist.
Give it another go. But yeah, no, I think I'll wait for another version. But I gave it a go, but no, not successfully yet.
Righto, we shall listen and keep back. Alex, your photographic prediction was?
Okay, I was thinking, you know, the compact systems that sort of the last couple of years have been coming out. Now, I reckon the compact systems are going to be the future, but not necessarily just for the amateur market. I reckon the pros, especially, you know, the people that need it fast, like the press and things like that, I reckon new compact systems are going to be developed with decent Wi-Fi, probably based on an Android system. But I think pros and maybe pro video, you know, like your GoPro type things.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they are going to be vastly more in the future. There's always going to be a place for, you know, the big DSLR and all the rest of it. But I reckon there's going to be compact or more compact systems that pro-end photography is going to make far more use of. Because I think the sensors and the lenses are as good in a compact system as they were in a lot of pro equipment, yeah, say 5 years ago.
I was talking to a guy a couple of, over the Christmas period at a job that I was at, and I said to him, he said, what should I buy for my girlfriend? I said, there are no bad compact cameras anymore. There's just better ones and worse ones.
Yeah, I think it might be that sort of in-between compact where you can do something with a lens if you have to.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be decent Wi-Fi, bit of probably Android because they're the only people that will license it, and that... You're going to see a lot more of that at the pro end. And just throwing one in, because we did speak about it briefly a couple of months ago, and it's gone very quiet, but I think this year might be the year that iBeacon actually does something.
Beacon, God.
Because I like the idea of, say, walking into a shop with, say, I don't know, say my iPhone in my pocket. Now, I've already made arrangements with a shop. I've already logged in, whatever. Say I walk into a shop. I've already bought something on the internet or whatever. They know it's me. I walk up to the counter and they say, hello, Mr. Fox, your order is ready. Here you go. I just want there's a really good use for if you're in control of systems knowing where you are, if it's what you want to do. Say you order a coffee or you order something in a restaurant, you know, or a takeaway even. You turn up, they know it's you. I just think it's there and I think it's something. I'd like
you want cheers, mate.
Yeah,
you just want to be warm and have your beer on the bar by the time you get to it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. I agree.
I'd like when I get home, even if it was, you know, the future, you know, when you got your robot to say hello to you because your kids and your wife are ignoring you. I'd like something to recognize my existence when I walked home, even if it was the burglar alarm. You know, I could do, iBeacon could set the burglar alarm just as I walk out the door because it knows I've left the house.
Your new nickname is now Norm.
There you go. There's nothing normal about me, fella.
Alex Norm Fox.
There you go. That's what the silent N stands for. There you go. That's all I've got.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. We say it every week. They're frigging brilliant. We love them to bits. You've got to go and check them out because they're absolutely dandy. We can't do enough with them, and they're going to look after us for the foreseeable future. I don't even, you know, we've been saying it's like 3 years gone and 2 years coming. They've just said, right, we're with you now, so you know, we'll review it whenever. We've got unlimited storage space with them. We've got unlimited bandwidth. Thank God for the unlimited bandwidth, because without that, I'd be broke. The server that we've got, the bandwidth that we consume, and the rate that we expect off it, it would be costing us over £1,400 a year. So they pick that up free of charge. Please support UK2 because they support us. What I would really like you to do is go to the British Tech Network site, BritishTechNetwork.com, and then just click on the sponsors link there on the top of the page, and you'll go and you'll see the UK2 one. Click on the UK2 logo, and that sends you through via a tracking link, not so that we track where you've gone on the website. It's not like a cookie or anything. What it's doing is it's just telling you that the British Tech Network sent you to their site. And then when you put in all the offer codes, you'll notice that you can open that in another window and then go back, and you can use, on the other window, British Tech Domains, British Tech DNS, British Tech VPN, all those server codes, those kind of things, and get fantastic deals off all the stuff that you've got from them. They're absolutely brilliant, and we love them to bits. Please support British Tech Network, because we'd be lost without them. And also, if you live anywhere near Yorkshire, or you're planning a trip through Yorkshire, then get yourself over to the Rither Arms Steakhouse. Tony there is a good follower on Twitter. He's a fan of the British Tech Network. He's a stunning chef. he's got the best steakhouse I've ever been to in my entire life. And he sent me two steaks before Christmas for saying that he's the best steakhouse on Twitter. So
I think it's the best steakhouse in the universe. I'll have some.
There you go. He has got a fantastic menu. I've got to say, it's heavily beef-oriented. Don't be surprised, but there are other things. And I went up there and with Ian Grant at TOA BOA and had some dinner there with him last year. And, oh, man. What a fantastic piece of beef he serves up. Absolutely brilliant. So check out the Ryther Arms. And also, last but by not least, our executive producer for the week is Pearson, at Pearson, P-E-A-R-C-E-N on Twitter. And he gave us a fantastic donation towards the network of £50. So we're going to be saving up for some new computing stuff because we're getting to the end of our ability on that kind of thing to work. New microphones as well, because this one's just about worn out. And we need various bits and pieces around the place. So please, if you'd like to support the network, send us a donation. Then all you got to do is log on to PayPal and send it to bageltechnews@gmail.com. Bageltechnews was the account that we set up, but I am not going through the account verification process again with them and getting my birth certificate out and sending it. So bageltechnews@gmail.com is the address to send your PayPal donations to. Thank you very much if you have and are already a regular subscriber to the donations. Do appreciate it.
Can I add a UK too?
Go on.
I was up for my 2-year renewal, because I always do it 2-yearly. I don't know why, but I just do it.
It's cheaper.
And my 2-year renew, because of when they do the renew, they give you what you've got, and they just give you what the price would be if you didn't go through all their, you know, do this, do that special offer. And I do have a lot of stuff on it, and it was £398. And I was about to click it, and they just sent me the thing you put up there, their lovely Christmas offer.
Yeah, yeah.
And because their pricing structure's changed and various things have changed, I got slightly more of a package than I had before, because I almost had their top package. I got slightly more, and for the 2 years, I paid £80. So...
Wow.
You have got to be off your head if you don't look at UK2. I don't think it lasts much longer, but have a look at the package. Even if your package hasn't run out yet, you might find that you're going to save an awful lot of money if you look at what they're offering at the moment, because it's not only 50% off, the pricing on the packages are a very, very good offer at the moment as well. So, like I say, £398 and I paid £80.
Super.
And I've got more than I had before for the next 2 years.
Yeah, one of the Twitter followers, Dan, said if I'd have listened to you and Rankin and gone over to UK2 when he suggested I'd save myself a grand by now. Yeah. There you go. And Bash tickets go on sale at the end of the month. Oh, Bash. 11th and 12th of July. 2 days now. Right, have you got a cool thing for us? Foxy starts off.
I inadvertently mentioned them, but one of the things I really like, I've got two actually, but one of the things I really liked was the new Netflix ability on the Virgin TiVo. Of course, Carl Madden can't use it because his is broken, but for anyone that's got a TV that isn't broken at the moment, it links beautifully with your Netflix app on your phone. I'm pretty sure it works through Android. I don't think they talk to each other directly. I think they talk to each other via Netflix, which is the clever idea. You do have to set up your TiVo to work on your network, but that's something you do anyway if you want to use these facilities. And it just makes it completely remote control. And what I really did like is I was watching a film on the TV. I paused it on the TV. I went to cook dinner. I carried on watching it on my iPad. There was still about half an hour left. So I went down. Once I cooked my dinner, I sat in front of the TV. I pressed the button on my iPad and I finished the film off on the TiVo. You just can't get better than that, can you?
We love TiVo.
And it was, what's the word?
We love free? Netflix.
Absolutely free.
As long as you're a Netflix subscriber.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it's just beautiful. I mean, they do similar things with the Western Digital packages I talked about before. And, you know, it's an added pleasure to be able to do something as wonderful as that with just so little hassle. And I really enjoyed it. And I really enjoyed the film because otherwise I'd have to have stopped, done the dinner for the kids and me and all the rest of it, come back. And I just wouldn't have enjoyed the film so much because it was a stop-start thing. And I just, it's brilliant. I loved it. And my next pick, now, I don't know how this is coming across because Skype and various things always, I mean, it makes my voice even worse than it is normally. But my good wife bought me for Christmas this new microphone. And I'm going to tell you what it is. It's an Audio-Technica 2020. And I've had four microphones so far, all of them quite expensive. Now, this one, I think she paid £80 because it's on special offer now. I actually saw it the day it arrived for £70, but I didn't tell her that.
But, Amazon's got it for 85 quid, yeah.
Okay, but it fluctuates between 70 and I don't know what the retail is, over 100 and 110, 120. And I, like I say, I don't know how it's coming through, but I monitor this myself. It's right. By far the clearest microphone. I mean, forget about Skype, and by the time they hear it, it's come through so many different things. But I'm monitoring this, and it's so clear. And it just picks up your voice in the most beautiful tones. Normally, the bottom of my voice is too deep for most microphones to pick up, and there's a rumble. This thing has got none of that at all, and I'm really, really impressed with it. And it might even be the cheapest microphone that I've used, and it's by far the best. So it's an Audio-Technica AT2020, and if you're looking for one, they do a USB version that's more expensive, but I don't use USB. I use XLR with Phantom Power, and it's by far the best mic I've ever seen for the money. So I just think it's really worth mentioning. And you know what? It's really pretty. It's so much prettier than all the other mics I've ever had.
Comes with a stand mount and 5-inch thread with a 3/8 reducer if you need it to, a case as well, and a fixed charge backplate.
There you go.
Which all everyone of those needs. Things. There we go. Jeff, what's your cool thing, sir?
All right. So it's no secret that I love Lego. And so, of course, I'm.
So much you don't put the S on the end.
Well, I have done, been mate. Working so hard to train myself to say Lego the way apparently the rest of the world does, as opposed to Legos, as people in the United States do. So anyhow, I'm a big fan of the Kuso projects, and Lego has a new project that went on sale on January 1st. And this one is the Mars Curiosity rover. And it was designed by one of the engineers that worked on the Curiosity project, and it looks great. And it has the articulated wheels, the instrument arm that you can swing out and move around, and it looks really, really cool. So
it's authentic.
I have ordered mine. They're $29.99 US. I ordered mine, and it will be here at the end of January, so I can do with it just as I did with the DeLorean project, and after I build it, I can hold it up to my camera so the rest of the world can see. It looks really cool, and I cannot wait to get my hands on it.
It does look rather good, and it's got suspension as well.
Yes, it does.
So it can go over stuff, and it's got a little stand that it comes on too. It's a bad representation of Mars because it's beige instead of being bloody red. Who thought of that? That spoilt it for me. I wanted a red base.
Well, I'll let you know.
I'll be spraying it.
What color it really is when mine shows up.
Ah, good point. And then we can go and buy it from there.
There you go.
Good man. Thank you for being our bench tester. And we need a review in the review section as well. How hard it was to build.
Will probably be, oh my God, so cool.
Yeah. No, it's how hard it is to build as well, because some of those are tricky buggers.
That's true.
Good pick, sir. Mr. W, what have you got?
Well, because it's New Year, every year I do, I'm going to try and get fit. Never happens, but I'm trying out a new app. It's free for Android and iOS called Moves. And basically, it's like a pedometer. You know, nothing really exciting in there. It tells you how many steps you've done, how long, how far you've gone. But I don't know how it does it, but you just stick it in your pocket, but it knows when you're walking, when you're cycling, and when you're running. And it actually analyzes all three actions differently. I don't know. It must use the accelerometer or GPS or something like that. But just put it in your pocket. And if you're walking, it measures your steps. If you're running, it'll tell you how fast you're going. But if you're cycling, it'll measure the mileage as well. So it gives you little challenges every day. So if you kind of want to get a little bit fit, that's a move.
Does it kind of check into locations as well?
Yeah, I guess it does. But
it's
you can
got
see
a coffee shop thing here.
Yeah. So, but I think the cleverest thing is you haven't got to say, I'm going on a run. Now I'm going cycling. It just knows.
Well, I mean, the body movement's got to be completely different. It would definitely be different in my case. So you know. Oh, okay. How much is it?
It's free.
Oh, well. Any in-app purchases?
Nope.
Oh, that's good. We like that, no in-app purchases.
If you run to the coffee shop and it knows, does it only let you buy low-fat milk?
Yeah. Ah. Maybe you have to blow into it before your Starbucks card works on the what's goes, it pass.
No, round the block again and then you can have it. Round the block again.
Yeah. Tie it into your iPass thing.
There you go.
And your Starbucks thing doesn't let you, if you've walked to the coffee shop, it doesn't let you buy any coffee. You've got to run.
It lets you buy the coffee and the cake, but it won't let you go home until you've run off the calories again.
Jeff, you have totally got to be thinking about a link in here for running, walking, Starbucks, fresh brewed tales.
Oh, yeah. Camera, I'm building new neural pathways even as we speak.
Jeez. Built for that. My cool thing is, I don't know whether it deserves it or not.
It's a big build-up, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I've got a Twitter follower, JCT_woodpad, and he makes the woodpad, which is basically a piece of wood, nothing more, in cherry and other different types of wood. And he's got a keyring that works with your iPhone that holds it upright on the train if you want to watch it like a movie screen. Or he's got a pad for your iPad and that kind of thing. And it's great. I got to say, I only got it yesterday, but I've already adopted it. And I got one in cherry. It's £20. And I had to pay for it. You didn't send me a review unit. And if you look carefully, I don't know whether you'll be able to see that, but the angles of the grooves are slightly different. So when you put your iPad in, you can either have it quite laid back like that, if that suits you on an airliner or on a train or something. And if it's on your desk and you want it a bit further away, so you want it more upright, there's a different angle on the other side. And you can also, if you want to do a dual charging station thing, stick your phone in the other side. That's my Nokia. So it takes any phone you like. £20. And it's beautifully made and beautifully finished. That's in cherry. And it's got a lovely satin lacquer on it. And well done, James, who's the guy
who makes
it.
You've got that in your handbag and some guy's bothering your missus and she's got that in the handbag. It's a little bit of an added weight to swing over his head to tell him to get lost.
Well, I'm going to say, I wouldn't have bought my Logitech keyboard if I'd have had that, because it's small enough to just stick in your bag and then pull out and stick on the train and away you go. So it's £20 and it's from woodpad.co.uk.
It's also nice to have something natural.
He didn't
send me all this metal and plastic and whatever. Thought, it's nice to have something real and...
On a show about the future, I've come out with some old school. There we go. JC, if you want to follow him on Twitter and get a special deal, JCT_woodpad. But I had to pay full whack for mine, and I had to badger him to send it to me so I could get it on in time for the show to say that it was my cool thing. I had to play the celebrity card. Anyone who knows, that's just bullshit. I've had no end of bloody requests. I've had about a dozen emails from people saying, could Santa do a monthly slot? I'm like, how's that going to work then? Ho, 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 everyone. I do a good impression of him, don't I? Ho, 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 everyone. Santa here.
No, actually, you don't sound like him at all.
I sound like Alan Guinness.
Yeah, you really need to work on your Santa impression.
Santa's monthly appearance on the
show. I suppose Santa could always call in, maybe just leave a 5-minute message once a month to say where he is in the world on his 364 days a year off, and you know what beach he's on and what he's up to. That could be something that he introduces once a month, just a little a message from Santa about what I'm doing this month whilst you're all there going to work.
Hello, everyone. This is Santa. That scabby bastard Rankin hasn't paid me a sodding penny, but... my adoring fans, I can't ignore. That's what we need.
Yeah, it's nice of you to go in to record that before you started the show.
Yeah, no, it was.
Your lip sync skills are fantastic.
If someone's got any idea on how to integrate Santa into a podcast episode in July, then yeah, we'll do it. All right, we'll
have a word. Takes him a while to go shopping, doesn't it?
I got an Alec Guinness email. We need to do the impressions thing. I know Jim did send an Alec Guinness one through, so. We need to do that. These are not the droids you're looking for. He doesn't say that, actually, anyway. It's the wrong quote, so...
Does it really matter when Will does an impression?
Aren't. He doesn't say are not. So there we go. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Fox?
Alex G. Fox on Twitter.
Alex Guinness Fox.
There you go. Otherwise known as Norm.
On Twitter, otherwise known as Norm from now on. Mr. Gavitt, where are you?
Oh, I'm hiding out at macobserver.com and on Twitter at jgamut.
Have you been screwing with the lever on your seat, getting lower and lower, just playing with the gas and air thing?
No, but I have a feeling that the pneumatic lift has a slow leak because I'm pretty sure I'm sitting lower now than when the show started.
Well, I'm frigging positive, mate. So
what? No, Jeff.
I adjusted the camera and the position of you so that you were filled up in the screen, and now you're right down. New there. Chair required.
Do I look better now?
You're fractionally taller. Not much, but
I'll take it as I can get it.
Good man. And lastly, but by no means least, Mr. Wright, where are you?
You'll find me at Paul Limbs on Twitter, and I promise to get reviewing again at British Tech Network.
No, you've put up over the Christmas period, despite being sick, you did put up a PS4 review, which is very good.
Yeah, from my sick bed.
Enjoyed that.
I'll do better, sir.
Nokia 625 review is going up from me, because I need to send that back to them, because I've still got it. I've had it for a month now. They're getting a bit upset with me, so I might not get any more Nokia phones. And Batwinch has done a review of the 1020 as a counterpoint to Paul's review of the 1020. So we'll see how she fares with it.
Come on in.
I'll post that. Mine is Ewan Rankin. You get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. And we'll be back again next week with separated shows, not a Big Mac show. So we'll have Big Show on Thursday, Mac Show on Friday, potentially, work permitting and life permitting. So hope we had a great Christmas and Happy New Year to everyone. Thanks for all the support last year. Really, really good. I've got to say special thanks to everyone that came on the panels because I can't do this show sat on my own. All the people that turn up here don't get a penny for doing it. They come because of the love of their heart and the fact that they need the exposure. And special thanks to Sarah for maintaining the website and Paul Wheatley for doing the gamer show and the iOS show. iOS show's taken a bit of a sabbatical, I think, really, but the gamer show's going thick and strong with Sam and Chiz. So everyone that takes part in all the shows, the media show as well, if you haven't listened to that, you've got to get over and have a think of that. Photo show's going to be back as well next week, so I'm hoping, if I get time to prep it, we'll be back on that. So thanks for supporting the network. Please continue to support the network because we need bigger and better things in 2014. Listeners, that's what we need. Listeners. Take care. See you next week.